We'd sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. A comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite shows. Radio, oh, why did you ever go? Oh, won't you please come back and entertain us? I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you so.
Once again, it's time for Yesteryear. A look back at your favorite dramas, westerns, comedies, and musical variety shows from the golden age of radio. Here's your host for Yesteryear, Craig Roberts.
Well, thank you, Dave, and once again, welcome to Yesteryear, the best from the golden age of radio. On today's program, we have a real treat for you. We'll turn back the clock to 1944 and a special broadcast of Suspense, starring Agnes Moorehead in Sorry, Wrong Number. But first, on a lighter note, it's the Jack Benny program. With Jack Benny, Mary Livingstone, Phil Harris, Dennis Day, Eddie Anderson as Rochester, and special guest star Leo DeRocher, manager of the Brooklyn Dodgers. The Jack Benny program revolutionized American comedy, replacing the overused one-liners of vaudeville with modern situation comedy and sophisticated humor that grew out of strong characterization. Dennis Day, Eddie Rochester Anderson, Mel Blanc, and Frank Nelson all started with Jack on radio in the 1930s and continued to appear on his television series and specials well into the 1970s. On today's program, we'll turn back the clock to November of 1941 with The Football Game. Jack visits with Brooklyn Dodgers manager Leo DeRocher, and Dennis Day sings Carry Me Back to the Lone Prairie. From November of 1941, it's The Football Game, the Jack Benny program. On Yesteryear.
Major Bowes, I miss the shadow nose, Fred Allen's alley folks, the laughter of Duffy's Tavern, Helen Trent. Then we went to Can You Top This? Suspense in the Whistler sent those shivers up our spines. Uncle Don, I wish that he was on. Jack Armstrong, Burton, Marge, Amos, and Andy. I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you. Sodio, vodio, dodio, do. Radio, I miss you so.
The Jell-O program brought to you by Jell-O and Jell-O Pudding, starring Jack Benny. With Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we bring you our versatile master of ceremonies who started work this week on a new motion picture.
Yes, sir.
A man who is as much at home in front of a camera as he is before a microphone.
Like you said, I'm versatile. Say.
A man who has a profile like John Barrymore, and have you seen him lately? Jack Benny!
Hello again, this is Jack Benny talking, and Chubby, you can rip me about it all you want to, but it sure feels good to be making a picture again. I tell you, Don, that's really my racket.
Well, Jack, I must admit that I do enjoy you on the screen immensely. I really got a big kick out of your last picture, the one you made with Fred Allen.
With Allen? Wait a minute, that wasn't my last one, Don. See, I made Charlie's Aunt after that. Remember when I was dressed like a lady?
Oh, yes. Well, to tell you the truth, Jack, I didn't get to see that one.
You didn't see Charlie's Aunt?
No, I meant to, but somehow I just didn't get around to it. Oh. By the way, Jack, who's the director of your current movie? Is it someone you've had before or somebody new?
Didn't get around to it, eh? Now, look, Don, I hesitate bringing it up right now. But you've been on this program 8 years, and you know our rule about not seeing my pictures. So what about it?
Oh, yes, Jack, I forgot. Here you are.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Now, I hate to do this, Don, but if I make an exception of you, they'll all expect it. You know, rules is rules. Anyway, answering your question... Oh, here's your change, Don.
Thanks.
Answering your question, the director of my latest screen vehicle is none other than Lubitsch. Ernst Lubitsch.
Lubitsch? Well, that's wonderful. That's a great break for you, Jack.
It is?
Why, certainly. You know, there's a saying in Hollywood that Lubitsch can even make a lamppost act.
Don. Don, any resemblance between me and a lamppost is purely coincidental. I'm slim, yes, but that's all. Anyway, Don, as I was saying, it sure feels good to be in front of a camera again. Right back where I belong.
What was that?
Oh, hello, Mary.
Hello. What was that you said?
I was telling Don I'm very happy. I'm right back where I belong.
Oh, selling suits, eh?
I mean pictures. I'm making a movie.
Oh, that's right. You haven't sold a suit since you worked in your father's store in Waukegan.
Of course. That's over 20 years ago.
The one you're wearing held up nice.
Mary, one thing about my father's merchandise, it lasted and lasted. In fact, Dad used to have a slogan, buy this suit and you'll get sick of it. We sold plenty of them that way.
Well, I'll have to admit, Jack, that outfit you're wearing is very snappy.
Certainly. How do you like the pants?
Get a load of the cuffs. You look like Puss in Boots.
My feet get cold, I roll them down. I can go along with a gag, sister. And incidentally, Mary, instead of coming in here with those wisecracks, why don't you congratulate me on the start of my new picture? You know, Carol Lombard is my leading lady.
Oh, boss, come now.
I'm not kidding. Carol Lombard is my love interest.
Lombard and Benny, hey, that's quite a team. Have you many romantic scenes with her, Jack?
Yes, lucky girl. Imagine. So, look, imagine I make love to her all day long, and then at 6 o'clock, she drives home to Gable. But say, that Gable is a pretty good leading man himself. You know, he's no slouch.
Oh, Jack, you're just as attractive to women as Clark Gable any day.
Well, I wouldn't say that, Mary. That's sweet of you, but Clark is a pretty handsome guy, you know.
Oh, you're just being modest. You don't hear women talk about you like I do.
Oh, Mary, stop, will you? I'll admit I'm not homely, but what do the women say about me?
You asked for it, brother.
Never mind. You always have to start something, don't you? Always.
Say, Mr. Benny, I heard you talking before, and you think Carol Lombard is pretty good looking, don't you?
Oh, hello, Dennis.
Hello.
What was that you said?
I forgot now.
What a brain. Dennis, you said something about Carol Lombard being very good looking.
Oh, yes. Well, I go with a girl that's better looking than any movie star you ever saw.
Oh, you go with a girl? She is. Well, say. What's her name, Dennis?
Thelma Gray, Crestview 7071.
Oh, well, you didn't have to give me your telephone number.
I might as well. You'll force it out of me later.
Now, hold on, young man. When did I ever threaten you to get a girl's phone number?
Remember in New York when you took me to the top of the Empire State Building?
Never mind.
And you held me over the edge by one leg?
I was just showing Al Smith how strong I was. Anyway, you're lucky you didn't go out with that girl. You've still got your watch. Well, so much for your love life, kid. Now, how about a song?
Okay. I'm going to sing Carry Me Back to the Lone Prairie, and I dedicate it to the Palm Springs Vaqueros.
Who cares, you little squealer? Go ahead with your song. Crestview 7071. I must remember that. Hold it a minute. Answer the phone, Mary.
Okay. Hello? Jell-O program, why aren't you listening to it?
Mary. Find out who that is.
Hello? Hello, this is Barton speaking. Belly Laugh Barton. Is Grandma there?
Just a second. It's for you, Jack. It's that kid you hired for a gag man.
Oh, Belly, huh? Oh, hello, Belly. What's on your mind?
Listen.
What?
I've got a terrific gag you can pull on Phil Harris tonight. Is he there yet?
No. No, what's the gag?
Well, this afternoon I told him to ask you how many hairs on a monkey's face.
Uh-huh.
And when he asks you, you say, the next time you shave, count them.
Oh. Well, now, wait a minute, Billy. That's kind of an old gag, isn't it?
Look, you know it and I know it, but the younger generation never heard of it.
Well, maybe you're right, Billy. Are you sure Phil will ask me that?
Yeah, and when you pull the answer, you'll never know what hit him.
Yeah, he'll really burn. Thanks, kid. And listen, I'll call you up after the show, let you know how it went over. Where can I reach you?
Crestview, 7071.
What? Hey, wait a minute, Billy. Oh, well, that's a good gag he gave me anyway. The next time you shave, count him. I must remember that. Sing, Dennis. I can hardly wait.
I'm a roving cowboy, far away from home, far from the prairie where I used to roam, where the dog is gone now and the wind blows free. Oh, my heart is yonder on the lone prairie. Oh, carry me back to the lone prairie, where the coyotes howl and the winds blow free. And when I die, you can bury me 'neath a western sky on the lone prairie. Give me back my saddle, give me back my gun, give me back that bronco that I used to run. Let me spread my blanket by a peaceful stream. Hear the cowboy singing by the campfire's gleam. Oh, carry me back to the lone prairie, where the coyotes howl and the wind blows free. And when I die, you can bury me 'neath a western sky on the lone prairie.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
Well, look who's here. I'm so glad you were able to make it tonight, Phil.
Sorry I'm late, pal, but I was out in my car listening to the program.
Oh, listen to the program, eh? Well, how is it?
Jackson, you need me.
Well, for your information, Phil, there's an old Chinese proverb that says, Benny need Harris like apple need worm. And incidentally, that glint in my eye is Jimmy Dorsey. Yeah. You know, I heard him last night.
Oh, don't get excited, Jackson. It was only a rib.
Uh-huh.
Hey, what's all this ballyhoo about you making a new picture?
That's right, Bill. I started working on it this week.
Well, here, I ain't gonna see it.
Thanks. The picture isn't made yet, and already it's grossed $10. But I must tell Alexander Corder about that. But I wouldn't jump to conclusions, Phil. You see, Carol Lombard is in it, and Lubitsch is the director.
Not Ernest Lubitsch.
No, not Ernest. The name is Ernst. Ernst.
Look at his pivot tooth go around.
Well, if it stops on the red, you win. You know, I can go along with a gag. Believe me.
Say, Mr. Benny.
Yeah?
Is that the same Mr. Lubitsch that directed Marlene Dietrich and Margaret Sullivan and Maurice Chevalier?
Yes, sir.
And Claudette Colbert and Gary Cooper and Greta Garbo?
Yep. And now he's directing me.
Is he slipping?
No. No, he's not slipping. The trouble with this gang, you're all too close to me. You don't realize I'm a good actor.
Say, Jackson, how'd you ever land a big director like that?
You mean Lubitsch?
Jack held him over the Empire State Building till he signed the contract.
Oh, stop. To hear you talk, you'd think I was the strongest guy in the world. Now, let's cut out this nonsense and go on with the program. Let's have a number, Phil, before Miss Livingston dreams up something else.
All right, what do you want to hear?
Music, but I'll take what I can get. No. Now, go ahead.
Okay. Oh, by the way, Jackson, I want to ask you something.
Yeah? Yeah, what is it?
How many hairs on a monkey's face?
Well, I'll tell you, Phil. Oh, my goodness, I forgot the answer. Mary, get me Belly Laugh on the phone quick. The number is Crestview 7071.
You didn't forget that, you wolf.
Oh, never mind. It's too late to pull a gag now. Let's see, Phil is supposed to say to me... How many hairs on a monkey's face? I'll take it. Hello?
Hello, Mr. Benny, this is Rochester.
Oh, what do you want?
Boss, this is the last straw. Either you get rid of Mr. Billingsley or I'm going back home to Arabia.
Oh, don't get so excited. What's our border done now?
Well, you know that suit of armor we got in the hall?
Yes.
And you know how it's holding that big spear?
Yes.
Well, I was waxing the floor in front of it just now, and the first thing I knew, I took off.
Oh. Oh, Mr. Billingsley is in it, eh? What in the world is he doing in that suit of armor?
This week, he's King Arthur.
King Arthur?
Yeah, better come home early. He's going to hold court in the dining room tonight.
Well, that's just silly. If you remember the legend, King Arthur's knight gathered at a round table. Our table is square.
It's round now. He saw it on the corner.
Well, this is your fault, Rochester. You know how eccentric Mr. Billingsley is. How did he ever get a hold of a saw?
A friend sent it to him in a loaf of bread.
That table is a genuine antique. Save the corners, Rochester. I'll think of something. Now, look, I'll be home soon, so let Mr. Billingsley wear that suit of armor. What was that? What happened?
King Arthur just fell off his horse.
Horse? What horse?
He's got a saddle on Carmichael.
Oh, my goodness. Well, look, Rochester, I'll be home soon, so humor Billingsley. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Oh, say, boss.
Now what?
I finished making those Christmas cards for Mr. Lubitsch.
All right, hang up.
He'll like him, boss. Right under the Santa Claus, I got his name in big silver letters. Ernest Lubitsch.
That's Ernst Lubitsch. Ernst. Now do him over.
How many T's in Ernst?
Well, Just one. It sounds like more. Now, goodbye. If you want anything done right, you got to do it yourself. All right, Phil, let's have your band number.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Answering your question, Phil, the next time you shave, count them. Ha ha, I knew I'd think of it. Was Wham Bang Crash Zowie, played by Phil Harris and his orchestra. Phil, I've got to say one thing about your arrangements. You certainly take care of the brass section.
Now, wait a minute, Jackson. I got three violins in the band, and they're playing all the time.
Yeah, but who can hear them? Another thing, two pianos. What do you got two piano players for?
They're Siamese twins.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And now, ladies and gentlemen, see, I didn't know that. The Siamese twins, eh?
Didn't you see the three of us dancing at Charlie Foy's the other night?
Yes, but I thought I was drunk. And now, ladies and gentlemen... Yeah, I couldn't understand it. I only had ginger ale. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to announce that next Sunday, we want you all to listen in, because we're going to present our annual drama of the gridiron. Yes, sir, we're all going to play football. We're really going to kick it around.
We kick it around every Sunday.
Never mind. And I would also like to announce...
Say, Jackson, look, do you mind if I leave now? I've got a friend waiting for me out in the hall.
What?
Well, he just got in town a few days ago, and I'm having dinner with him.
I'm sorry, Phil, but your friend can very well wait till the program's over.
That's a fine way to treat Leo DeRocher.
I don't care who... Leo DeRocher? You mean the manager of the Brooklyn Dodgers?
Yeah, he's sitting right out in the hall.
Well, what are you waiting for? Bring him in. Bring him in.
Sure, a guest star for nothing.
Mary, I just want to say hello. I know him very well. Bring him in, Phil.
Okay.
So, Leo. Leo's in town, eh?
Say, Mr. Benny, who's Leo DeRocher?
I just told you. He's manager of them bums. Don't you remember, Dennis? I bet you $5 Brooklyn would win the World Series.
Oh, yes. How did that ever come out?
I'll tell you later, kid.
Well, fellas, here's that man.
Well, come on in, Leo.
Hiya, Jackson. Glad to see you.
Hey, this is quite a surprise, Leo. I didn't think you'd get in town till next week. Where are you staying?
I'm living over at Georgie Raff's house.
Oh, Raff's, eh? Well, why didn't you come over to my place, Leo? You'd love it there. Quiet surroundings. Only 10 minutes from Hollywood, and I got a 40-foot heated swimming pool.
I know. I got your folder.
Oh, well, then what made you pick out Raff's place?
Well, you don't understand, Jackson. I'm Georgie's guest. I'm living there for nothing.
Oh. Oh, I see.
Guys like Raff that are ruining the tourist business.
Oh, for heaven's sake, Mary, I wanted Leo to be my guest, too. I wasn't going to charge him. Oh, Leo, this is Mary Livingston.
Hello, Miss Livingston. Or may I call you Mary? I've listened to you so often on the radio, I feel I almost know you.
Thanks. Gee, how can such a sweet fellow slug an umpire?
Mary.
It's easy, sister.
Good, 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 good. And Leo, good. Leo, Leo, this is Don Wilson, our announcer, and Dennis Day, our young tenor.
Hello, fellas.
Oh, glad to know you, Leo.
Say, I was wondering about the World Series, Mr. DeRosa. Who won, the Dodgers or the Yankees?
Is that Mick looking for trouble?
No. Oh, forget it, Leo. It's a long story. But, Leo, remember when I saw you that first game at the Yankee Stadium, and I said to you, how does it look, kid?
And I said, we'll moiter him?
Yeah. And then you lost 4 games out of 5. What happened?
Well, you can't tell about those things. It's like your radio program. You don't have a good one every week, do you?
No, but we don't have 4 bad ones out of 5.
Look, Jackson, you've been called bums as often as we have.
I didn't look at it quite that way.
Come on, Leo, let's go. Let's get out of here.
Now, wait a minute, Phil. I want to talk to him. Say, Leo, didn't I hear you? I mean, weren't you on Fred Allen's program a few weeks ago?
Yeah, what a sweet guy. I got laughs on his show.
Get laughs here if you read your lines right. You know? Don't ad-lib with me, brother. I'm pretty fast on those answers.
Now, go on. You don't even know how many hairs on a monkey's face.
Oh, yeah? Well, the next time I shave, I'll count them. Wait. What am I saying? That was wrong. Give me that again, Leo.
Come on, Leo, will you? Let's go. Georgie's waiting for us across the street at the tropics. Come on.
Okay.
Georgie, is Raph having dinner with you two guys?
Yes, you want to join us?
Sure, I'll be glad to. Oh, Don, carry on with the show, will you?
Who am I going to talk to, Dennis?
Mary is here. Stick out your stomach and she's good for 3 jokes. Come on, Leo. Let's go, Phil. Come on. Well, Leo, I'm sure glad you came out to Hollywood. No hard feelings, even though I lost a little dough on the Dodgers. Reminds me I owe Jesse $50. But I want to tell you something, Leo. You got a great ball club there. And next time you'll be right back in the series. I know I'm going to bet on you, and I'll bet on you every time you play. That's me. I'm a sick of you.
From November of 1941, it's been the Jack Benny Program with special guest, Brooklyn Dodgers manager Leo DeRosier. In a moment, Agnes Moorehead, starring in Lucille Fletcher's Sorry Wrong Number, a tale calculated to keep you in suspense as yesteryear continues.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear. Here's Craig Roberts.
Thanks again, Dave, and welcome back to Yesteryear. Up next, we'll give listen to a historic broadcast, no doubt one that made Agnes Moorehead and suspense famous. It's the 1944 suspense broadcast of Lucille Fletcher's Sorry, Wrong Number. Suspense was radio's greatest mystery anthology and thrilled millions of listeners for over 2 decades. Widely recognized as one of the finest series in the history of broadcasting, Suspense won the prestigious Peabody Award and reigned both as a critical success and a ratings powerhouse. Suspense first hit the airwaves in 1940 as an independent installment of the CBS Forecast Summer Series. The debut broadcast was directed by the legendary Alfred Hitchcock. Suspense returned to the CBS schedule in June of 1942 and continued on for the next 20 years. Of all the plays broadcast on Suspense over the course of 20 years, no doubt Suspense's most famous radio play featured an invalid's frantic attempts to prevent a murder. Orson Welles called it the greatest single radio script ever written and hailed Lucille Fletcher as one of the most gifted of all writers who've ever worked in the medium. Agnes Moorehead, a regular on Welles' Mercury Theater on the Air, made her screen debut in his landmark 1941 film Citizen Kane. Moorehead's bravado performance in Sorry Wrong Number earned her the title of First Lady of Suspense. Today, from February of 1944, it's Agnes Moorehead starring in Lucille Fletcher's Sorry Wrong Number, A tale calculated to keep you in suspense.
Roma Wines presents
Suspense. This is the Man in Black, here to introduce this weekly half hour of Suspense. Tonight from Hollywood, we bring you, in response to requests from many thousands of listeners, Miss Agnes Moorehead, in one of the most famous suspense plays this series has ever presented, Sorry, Wrong Number. And now with Lucille Fletcher's study in terror called Sorry, Wrong Number, and with a performance of Agnes Moorehead, we again hope to keep you in suspense.
Operator, I've been dialing Murray Hill 40098 now for the last three quarters of an hour, and the line is always busy. I don't see how it could be busy that long. Will you try it for me, please?
I will be glad to try that number for you. One moment, please.
I don't see how it could be busy all this time. It's my husband's office. He's working late tonight, and I'm all alone here in the house. My health is very poor, and I've been feeling so nervous all day.
Ringing Murray Hill 40098.
Hello?
Hello? Hello, is Mr. Stevenson there?
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello. George?
Yes, sir, this is George speaking.
Hello, who's this? What number am I calling, please?
I'm here with our client.
Oh, good. Is everything okay? Is the coast clear for tonight?
Yes, George. He says the coast is clear for tonight.
Okay, okay.
Where are you now?
In a phone booth. Don't worry, everything's okay.
Very well. You know the address.
Yes, I know, I know. Let's see now. At 11 o'clock, the private patrolman goes around to the bar on 2nd Avenue for a beer.
That's right, 11 o'clock.
Okay.
And be sure that all the lights downstairs are out. There should be only one light visible from the street.
Okay, okay.
What's that? Oh, just a minute, George. Oh, our client tells me that at 11:15, a train crosses the bridge. It makes a noise in case her window is open and she should scream.
Hello, what number is this, please?
Okay, I understand. That's 11:15, the train, huh?
Yeah. Do you remember everything else, George?
Yeah, yeah. I'll make it quick, as little blood as possible, because our client does not wish to make her suffer long. Huh?
That's right. You'll use a knife?
Yes, a knife will be okay. Then afterwards, I remove the rings and the bracelets and the jewelry in the bureau drawer because our client wishes it to look like a simple robbery. Don't worry, everything's okay. I know.
Oh, how awful. How unspeakably awful.
Your call, please.
Operator, I've just been cut off.
I'm sorry, what number were you calling?
Why, it was supposed to be Murray Hill 40098, but it wasn't. Some wires must have got crossed. I was cut into a wrong number, and I've just heard the most dreadful thing, something about a murder. And, operator, you'll simply have to retrace that call at once.
I beg your pardon. May I help you?
Oh, I know it was a wrong number, and I had no business listening, but these two men, they were cold-blooded fiends, and they were going to murder somebody, some poor, innocent woman who was all alone in a house near a bridge. And we've got to stop them. We've just got to.
What number are you calling?
Well, that doesn't matter. This was a wrong number, and you dialed it for me, and we've got to find out what it was immediately.
What number did you call?
Oh, why are you so stupid? What time is it? You mean to tell me you can't find out what that number was just now?
I'll connect you with the chief operator.
Oh, I think it's perfectly shameful. Now, look, Look, it was obviously a case of some little slip of the finger. I told you to try Murray Hill 40098 for me. You dialed it, but your finger must have slipped, and I was connected with some other number, and I could hear them, but they couldn't hear me. Now, I simply fail to see why you couldn't make that same mistake again on purpose. Why you couldn't try to dial Murray Hill 40098 in the same sort of careless way.
Murray Hill 40098. I will try to get it for you.
Well, thank you.
I am sorry, Murray Hill 40098 is busy. I will call you
in... Operator! Operator!
Your call, please.
You didn't try to get that wrong number at all. I asked you explicitly, and all you did was dial correctly.
I am sorry. What number are you calling?
Well, can't you for once forget what number I'm calling and do something for me? Now, I want to trace that call. It's my civic duty, and it's your civic duty to trace that call and apprehend those dangerous killers. And if you won't...
I will connect you with the chief operator.
Well, please...
This is the chief operator.
Oh, chief operator, I want you to trace a call, a telephone call, immediately. I don't know where it came from or who was making it, but it's absolutely necessary that it be tracked down because it was about a murder that someone's planning, a terrible, cold-blooded murder of a poor, innocent woman tonight at 11:15.
I see.
Can you trace it for me? Can you track down those men?
Well, I'm not certain. It depends.
Depends on what?
It depends on whether the call is still going on. If it's a live call, we can trace it on the equipment. Been disconnected, we can't.
Disconnected?
If the parties have stopped talking to each other.
Oh, but of course they must have stopped talking to each other by now. That was at least 5 minutes ago, and they didn't sound like the type who would make a long call.
Well, I can try tracing it. May I have your name, please?
Mrs. Stevenson. Mrs. Albert Stevenson. But
and
listen.
Your telephone number, please.
Plaza 32098. But if you go on wasting all
Why
this time...
Why do you want this call traced, please?
Why? Oh... No reason. I merely felt very strongly that something ought to be done about it. These men sounded like killers. They're dangerous. They're going to murder this woman at 11:15 tonight, and I thought the police ought to know.
Have you reported this to the police?
Well, no, not yet.
You want this call checked purely as a private individual?
Yes, but meanwhile...
I'm sorry, Mrs. Stevenson, but I'm afraid we couldn't make this check for you and trace the call... Just on your say-so as a private individual. We'd have to have something more official.
Oh, for heaven's sake. You mean to tell me I can't report that there's going to be a murder without getting tied up in all this red tape? Why, it's perfectly idiotic. Well, all right, I'll call the police.
Thank you. I'm sure that would be the best way to do it.
Ridiculous. Curse such nonsense. Utter nonsense.
Your call, please?
The police department. Get me the police department, please.
Thank you. Ringing the police department.
Oh, can't you ring them direct? It's time.
Police station, precinct 43, Sergeant Martin speaking.
Police department, this is Mrs. Stevenson. Mrs. Albert Smythe Stevenson of 53 North Sutton Place. I'm calling up to report a murder.
Huh?
I mean, the murder hasn't been committed yet, but I just overheard plans for it over the telephone, over a wrong number that the operator gave me. I've been trying to trace down the call myself, but everybody is so stupid, and I guess in the end you're the only people who could do anything.
Yes, ma'am.
It was a perfectly definite murder. I heard their plans distinctly. Two men were talking, and they were going to murder some woman at 11:15 tonight. She lived in a house near a bridge. Are you listening to me?
Yes,
and,
ma'am.
And there was a private patrolman on the street. He was going to go around for a beer on 2nd Avenue. And there was some third man, a client, who was paying to have this poor woman murdered. They were going to take her rings and bracelets and use a knife. Well, it's unnerved me dreadfully, and I'm not well.
Yeah. Yes, I see. When was all this, ma'am?
About 8 minutes ago. Oh, then you can do something. You do understand.
What's your name, ma'am?
Mrs. Stevenson. Mrs. Albert Stevenson.
And your address?
5353 North Sutton Place. That's near a bridge, the Queensborough Bridge, you know. And we have a private patrolman on our street. And the 2nd Avenue, isn't it?
And, was that number you were calling?
Murray Hill 40098. But that wasn't the number I overheard. I mean Murray Hill, 40098 is my husband's office. He's working late tonight, and I was trying to reach him to ask him to come home.
Yeah.
I'm an invalid, you know, and it's the maid's night off, and I hate to be alone, even though he says I'm perfectly safe as long as I have the telephone right beside my bed.
Well, we'll look into it, Miss Stevenson, and see if we can check it with the telephone company.
But the telephone company said they couldn't check the call of the parties that stopped talking. I've already taken care of that.
Oh, you have?
Yes, and personally, I feel you ought to do something far more immediate and drastic than just check the call. What good does checking the call do if they stop talking? By the time you track it down, they'll already have committed the murder.
Well, we'll take care of it, don't you worry.
I'd say the whole thing calls for a search, a complete and thorough search of the whole city. I'm very near the bridge, and I'm not far from Second Avenue, and I know I'd feel a whole lot better if you sent around a radio car to this neighborhood at once.
Well, what makes you think the murder's going to be committed in your neighborhood, ma'am?
Well, I don't know. Only the coincidence is so horrible. Second Avenue with the patrolman, the bridge.
Second Avenue, you know, is a very long street, ma'am. And you know how many bridges there are in the city of New York alone. Not to mention Brooklyn, Staten Island, and Queens and the Bronx.
I know all that.
How do you know there isn't some little house on Staten Island, on some little Second Avenue you never heard about? How do you know they were even talking about New York at all?
But I heard the call on the New York dialing system.
Well, maybe it was a long-distance call you overheard. You know, telephones are funny things. Now, look, lady, why don't you look at it this way? Supposing you hadn't broken in on that telephone call. Supposing you got your husband the way you always do. You wouldn't be so upset, would you?
Well, I suppose not, only it sounded so inhuman, so cold-blooded.
Well, a lot of murders are plotted in this city every day, ma'am. We manage to prevent almost all of them, but a clue this kind is so vague, there's much more use to us than no clue at all.
But surely you can...
Unless, of course, you have some reason for thinking this call was phony and that someone may be planning to murder you.
Me? Oh, no. No, I hardly think so. I mean, why should anybody...
Well,
I'm alone all day and night. I see nobody except my maid, Eloise. She's a big 200-pounder.
Yeah.
She's too lazy to bring up my breakfast tray. And the only other person is my husband, Albert. He's crazy about me. He adores me. He waits on me hand and foot and has scarcely left my side since I took sick 12 years ago.
Yeah, well, then there's nothing for you to worry about. And now if you'll just leave the rest of this to us, we'll take care of it.
But what will you do? It's so late. It's nearly 11 now.
We'll take care of it, lady.
Well, will you broadcast it all over the city and send out squads and warn your radio cars to watch out, especially in suspicious neighborhoods like mine?
Lady, I said we'd take care of it. Now, I've got a couple of other matters here on my desk that require immediate attention. So, good night, ma'am. Thank you.
Oh, you idiot. So why did I hang up the phone like that? Now he'll think I am a fool. Oh, why doesn't Albert come home? Why doesn't he? The operator again. Oh.
Your call, please.
Operator, for heaven's sake, will you ring that Murray Hill 40098 number again? I can't think what's keeping him so long.
I will try it for you.
Oh, got me so nervous.
I'm sorry, Murray Hill 40098 is busy. I will call you.
I can hear it. You don't have to tell me. I know it's busy. Oh, if I could only get out of this bed for a little while. If I could get a breath of fresh air or just lean out of the window and see the street. Hello? Albert? Hello? 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 Oh, what's the matter with his phone? Hello? 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 Oh, for heaven's sake, who is this? Hello? 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 What are they trying to do to me? Oh. Oh. Answer somebody. Answer somebody.
Your call, please.
Hello, operator. I don't know what's the matter with this telephone tonight, but it's positively driving me crazy. I've never seen such inefficient, miserable service. Now, look. Look, I'm an invalid, and I'm very nervous, and I'm not supposed to be annoyed. But if this keeps on much longer...
What seems to be the trouble, please?
Well, everything's wrong. I haven't had one bit of satisfaction out of one call I've made this evening. The whole world could be murdered for all you people care, and now my phone keeps ringing and ringing and ringing and ringing every 5 seconds or so, and when I pick it up, there's no one there.
I am sorry. If you will hang up, I will test it for you.
I don't want you to test it for me. I want you to put that call through, whatever it is, at once.
I'm afraid I cannot do
that. You can't? And why? Why, may I ask?
The dial system is automatic.
Oh.
If someone is trying to dial your number, there is no way to check whether the call is coming through the system or not, unless the person who is trying to reach you complains to his particular operator.
Well, of all the stupid... And meanwhile, I've got to sit here in my bed suffering every time that phone rings, imagining everything.
I will try to check the trouble
check
for
it,
you, madam.
Check it! That's all anybody can do. Oh, what's the use of talking to you? You're so stupid. I'll fix her. Of all the impudent... How dare she speak to me like that? How dare she speak to me like that? No satisfaction out of anybody. Lancer.
Your call, please?
Young woman, I don't know your name, but there are ways of finding you out. And I'm going to report you to your superiors for the most unpardonable rudeness and insolence it has ever been my privilege. Give me the business office at once.
You may dial that number direct.
Dial it direct? I'll do no such thing. I don't even know the number.
The number is in the directory, or you may secure it by dialing
it. Listen
for me.
Here, you! Oh, what's the use? Oh, for heaven's sake, I'm going out of my mind, out of my mind. Hello, hello, stop ringing, do you hear? Answer me, who is this? Do you realize you're driving me crazy? Who's calling me? What are you doing it for? Now stop it. Stop it! Stop it, I say! Hello, hello! If you don't stop ringing, I'm going to call the police. Do you hear? The police! Oh! If Elbert would only come home. Oh, let it ring. Let it go on ringing. It's a trick of some kind. I won't answer it. I won't answer it. I won't. Even if it goes on ringing all night, I won't answer it. I won't answer it. Now? Now what's the matter? Why do they stop ringing all of a sudden? What time is it? Where's my clock? Where is it? 5 to 11. They've decided something. They sure I'm home. They've heard my voice answering them just now. That's why they've been ringing me. Why no one has answered me. Oh. Oh. Oh, where is she? Where is she? Why doesn't she answer?
Your call, please.
Where were you just now? Why didn't you answer at once? Give me the police department.
The line is busy. I will call you.
Busy? But that's impossible. The police department can't be busy. There must be other lines available.
The line is busy. I will try to get them for you later.
No, no. I've got to speak to them now. It may be too late. I've got to talk to someone.
What number do you wish to speak to?
I don't know, but there must be someone to protect people beside the police department. A detective agency.
You will find agencies listed in the classified directory.
But I don't have a classified. I mean, I'm too nervous to look it up, and I don't know how to use the book.
I will connect you with information. Perhaps she will be able to help you.
No, no. Oh, you're being spiteful, aren't you? You don't care, do you, what happens to me? I could die, and you wouldn't care. Oh, stop it. Stop it. I can't stand anymore. Hello, what do you want? Stop ringing, will you? Stop.
Hello? Is this Plaza 32099?
Yes. Yes, I'm sorry. This is Plaza 32099.
This is Western Union. I have a telegram here for Mrs. Elbert Stevenson. Is there anyone there to receive the message?
I am Mrs. Stevenson.
The telegram is as follows. Mrs. Elbert Stevenson, 53 North Sutton Place, New York, New York. Darling, terribly sorry. Tried to get you for last hour, but line busy. Leaving for Boston 11 p.m. tonight on urgent business. Back tomorrow afternoon. Keep happy. Love, signed Elbert.
Oh, no.
Do you wish us to deliver a copy of the message?
No. No, thank you.
Thank you, madam. Good night.
Good night. No. Oh, no. I don't believe it. He couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. Not when he knows I'll be all alone. It's some trick. It's some trick. Some fiendish trick. I know it.
Your call, please.
Operator. Try that Murray Hill 40098 number for me just once more, please.
You may dial that number direct.
Oh. M-4-0-0-9-8.
Oh, Albert, how could you? How could you? Oh, but I can't be alone tonight. I can't. If I'm alone one more second, I'll go mad. I don't care what he says or what the expense is. I'm a sick woman. I'm entitled to some consideration.
This is information. May I help you?
I want the telephone number of Henschley Hospital.
Henschley Hospital? Do you have the street address?
No, it's somewhere in the 70s. It's a very small, private, and exclusive hospital where I had my appendix out 2 years ago. Henschley, H-E-N-C-H-L.
One moment, please.
Please hurry. And please, what is the time?
You may find out the time by dialing Meridian 71212.
Oh, for heaven's sake, I've no time to be dialing.
The number of Henschley Hospital is Butterfield 89970.
You.
Henschley Hospital, good evening.
Nurse's registry.
Who was it you wished to speak to, please?
I want the nurse's registry at once. I want a trained nurse. I want to hire her immediately for the night.
I see. And what is the nature of the case, madam?
Nerves. I'm very nervous. I need soothing and companionship. You see, my husband is away, and I'm...
Have you been recommended to us by any doctor in particular, madam?
No, but I really don't see why all this catechizing is necessary. I want a trained nurse. I was a patient in your hospital 2 years ago, and after all, I do expect to pay this person for attending me.
We quite understand that, madam. But these are war times, you know. Registered nurses are very scarce just now, and our superintendent has asked us to send people out only on cases where the physician in charge feels it is absolutely necessary.
Well, it is absolutely necessary. I'm a sick woman. I'm very upset, very. I'm alone in this house, and I'm an invalid, and tonight I overheard a telephone conversation that upset me dreadfully. A woman's going to be killed when a train... In fact, if someone doesn't come at once, I'm afraid I'll go out of my mind.
I see. Well, I'll speak to Miss Phillips as soon as she comes in. What is your name,
Miss
madam?
Miss Phillips. And when do you expect her in?
I really couldn't say. She went out to supper at 11 o'clock.
11 o'clock? Wait, it's not 11 yet. Oh, my clock has stopped. I thought it was running down. What time is it?
Just 15 minutes past 11.
What was that?
What was what, madam?
That click just now in my own telephone. As though someone has lifted the receiver off the hook, off the extension telephone downstairs.
I didn't hear it, madam. Now, about
this... But I did! There's someone in this house. Someone downstairs in the kitchen. And they're listening to me now. I won't pick it up. I won't let them hear me. I'll be quiet and they'll think. But if I don't call someone now, while they're still down there, there'll be no time.
Your call, please?
Operator, I'm in desperate trouble.
I'm sorry, I cannot hear you. Please speak louder.
Oh, dear, there's someone listening. Can you hear me now?
I am sorry.
But you've got to hear me. Please, you've got to help me. There's someone in this house. Someone who's going to murder me, and you've got to get in touch with... There it is. He's put down the extension phone. He's coming upstairs. He's coming up the stairs. Give me the police department. The police department.
One moment, please. I will connect you.
Okay. Please. Oh, no. Oh, no, come here. Oh, please, I didn't do anything. Oh, no, come here. Please, don't. Please, don't. Ah!
Police department? I'm sorry. Must have got the wrong number. Don't worry. Everything's okay.
And so closes Sorry, Wrong Number, starring Agnes Moorehead. tonight's tale of suspense. Before we tell you about next week's stars and story, consider this.
This is Agnes Moorhead. I'm always flattered and delighted when I'm asked to appear on Suspense, because I have such very great admiration for this program. One more word. The attack for victory is on. You help make the victory surer and bring it sooner when you buy more war bonds.
Suspense is produced and directed by William Spear. Suspense.
Presented by Roma Wines. Made in California for enjoyment throughout the world. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
From February of 1944, it's been Agnes Moorhead starring in Lucille Fletcher's Sorry Wrong Number, Suspense. Well, that's all we have time for on this edition of Yesteryear, but back with you again next week for more of the golden age of radio here on Yesteryear. Till next time, I'm Craig Roberts. So long.
Radio, remember radio. We'd sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. Comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite shows. Radio, I miss you so. Dio, voldio, dodio, do. Radio, I miss you.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio, KSSR-DB San Francisco, where the big bands swing.
The night away, listening to your favorite big bands. Places like Glen Island Casino, the Coconut Grove. Relive the music and the memories. All your favorite bands from all the most exciting night spots. Coming up on Make Believe Ballroom, a part of Swing Street Radio with Craig Roberts.
Each week at this time, we present live recorded music from famous ballrooms and night spots from across the nation. In radio's early days, most of the music enjoyed by listeners came from live performances via remote. Places like the Aragon Ballroom in Chicago, the Palomar in Los Angeles, and the Palladium in New York were just a few of the locations where radio brought its microphones in order to bring fine listening and dancing music to the nation. On this edition of Swing Street Ballroom, we present a sample of just such a live broadcast. As the network announcers used to say, the nation's leading dance bands from the nation's leading dance spots. So, time now to move the furniture out of the way, roll back the carpet, and get ready to dance. It's the Swing Street Ballroom.
It's make-believe ballroom time.